Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Another packed show today. I've got a lot of good news in this program, which you might say, gosh, we could use some good news. And it's amazing just how little it takes to cheer us up these days. But there's always joy in the Word of God. It says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. And that's really where we go to for our strength. It really is it not? I want to share a little story, though, the other day. In a minute, I don't want to forget, if you want to reach me, you can at info@redskyradio.net. info@redskyradio.net. I read every single email that comes in. I personally read all two or three of them. No, there's more than that, but I want to let you know I'm making that commitment. As long as I can, I will read anything and everything that comes in, criticism, constructive or otherwise, comments, compliments, what have you. I've received them all. The other day, I will leave the store nameless, but talking about how little joy it takes to just sort of lighten up the day. I went into a store. It's a name brand. They exist all across the country. And I was wearing my Trump hat. And I don't even want to tell you what it was I was purchasing, because that will possibly give it away. And the lady, the checker, had English was her second language. I knew she was from Southeast Asia. I did not know where. And it turns out she ended up saying that she was Filipino. And anyway, she complimented me on my hat. She broke the right big, huge smile. She said, "I love your hat. Love your hat." And I said, "Well, thank you. I really appreciate that." And she started talking about how she'd only been here 3 years. She immigrated legally. She loves the president. She can't believe what the media is trying to say about him and do to him, even implying she wouldn't have left where she came from had they had a president like Donald Trump. Well, because this particular store, like many stores, give veterans a 10% discount, and I'm a veteran, so I pulled out my veteran ID. And I said, "Well, I need to show you my veteran ID." And she said, "Oh, no need show me ID. I give you discount just because of hat." And then she had this big, huge smile and laughing. I don't know if she was serious or not. I've got to tell you, that made my day. When you're starved for good news, it doesn't take a lot of good news to cheer you up. Right? If you are absolutely famished, you haven't eaten, let's say, in 2 or 3 days, does it take a 10-course meal? Or no, I don't think they make 10-course. 3 or 4-course meal to cheer you up? No. Probably a bowl of whatever. Raisin bran without even any milk on it or something, and you would think you just landed in heaven. It doesn't take much. God knows when we are down. He knows when we need a little spark of joy. And he finds ways and people to intersect with to do that for us. And like I said, first and foremost, if there's nobody else around, there's the Word of God. So on to the good news. Those of you who've been listening to this program for any length of time, and for those of you who have been listening for 10, 12, maybe 15 years now, I don't even know if I have any original listeners all the way back to 2005. If you are, I'd like to hear from you. I would. info@redskyradio.net. I'd just like to know if there's somebody still out. And that was in a very small community in Central California, so probably not. But I'd love to hear from you. Anyway, you know that I have for what is now well over a decade been longing for, praying for, and cheering for when they come up. The Black and Hispanic conservatives, or at least with an open, fair-mindedness to speak their mind against the party that assumes control over them, being the Democratic Party, to speak up and to speak out. Not like the feminists say, truth to power. And that's truth to power, truth in power. Truth is power. And I've been praying that they would emerge and rise up and form the coalition which would save this country from a despicable, embarrassing, and degrading end. As this country just goes down a rat hole morally, and on its way to, if once President Trump is gone, if you got a Democrat, on its way to turning its back on Israel, in which case it's lights out. So when these individuals come along, I am thrilled. And they are growing and they're growing and they're growing. And it's getting to the point where the Democrat-controlled lamestream media is having a more difficult time keeping the blacks, particularly, more so than Hispanics at this point, tamped down, who want to leave the plantation, who are leaving the plantation, who have left the plantation, keep them from speaking out and influencing other blacks, which is why President Trump's approval rating among blacks, you say, was only 30%. Well, guess what? Mitt Romney was 8. So if it stays at 30%, it's game over for the Democrats. I'm taking nothing for granted, however, nor should you, and you need to be praying for this president every single day. Do not make the mistake we made with Ronald Reagan. Oh, he can do it. We got our man in office now. I can go back to work. I can do this other stuff. He doesn't need my help. He doesn't need my prayers. And we ended up with, well, you know the way it went. Okay, so I want to just highlight a black Georgia Democratic state lawmaker by the name of Vernon Jones, who last week, or maybe it was earlier this week, I'm not even sure, announced his support for Donald Trump. And the Democratic Party in Georgia just went bonkers when he did this. And not only are these individuals prayers coming true in individual form to have these rise up, when they rise up, it ends up showing just how despicable, hypocritical the Democratic Party is at its core. So Vernon Jones came out in support of President Trump. And he took so much flack, he resigned. And then as a consequence of his resignation, or saying he was going to resign, he had such an incredible outpouring of support. He said it was too great for me to ignore, using his words, and he decided he resigned from his resignation. He withdrew his resignation, and he said, and I want to give some quotes to this man. He's an answer to prayer, like I said, one of several I'm going to talk about here, but he also reveals the despicable, hypocritical nature of the Democratic Party at its core. He said, quote, "I will not allow the Democrats..." Now, just keep in mind, this is a black Georgia Democrat. "I will not allow the Democrats to bully me into submission. I will not let them win." And he said, "And I will not," all caps, "resign." Now, what I didn't, end quote, what I did not know was his resignation wasn't really his idea. He was being pressured by other Democrats to resign. Now, he said, in this statement regarding his resignation, when he did resign, it was Tuesday, was he said, "Turn the lights off. I have left the plantation." End quote. And he said that he's not going to switch parties, but as a non-legislator now, he was going to work for Trump's reelection. Now, you see, to be pro-Trump, I don't know where he is on pro-life and family matters, but to be pro-Trump is a nightmare for Democratic Party to have Democratic blacks come out and be pro-Trump. Oh, the horror of it all. That's the response. And the Democrats are going overboard to stop and suppress, extinguish, kick these people out, intimidate them, embarrass them, pressure them into quitting and shutting up. But he said, quote, "I don't plan to leave the Democratic Party because somebody's got to be there to hold them accountable. And catch this, to root out the bigotry." Now, this is a black man in Georgia saying somebody has got to, like me, has to stay in the Democratic Party in Georgia, which has a huge black component, to root out bigotry. So I don't know if he's talking about, is he talking about other blacks that are bigoted towards Trump that are Democrats? I don't know. He didn't elucidate that issue. But since announcing his resignation, okay, I guess it was. It's just this Wednesday. For some reason, I've been thinking about this story so much, I thought it was earlier in the week. He said, "I've received an overwhelming amount of support, an outcry from the people that I represent, my fellow Georgians and Americans from across this country and every walk of life, every age, every color, and every party." That was motivational. And motivational, you know what, America? I thought about it. I talked to my family. I talked to my supporters. I'm going to remain on the battlefield. I'm going to complete my term. I'm going to continue to put my country before my party. And why, he said? Because Donald Trump is the man for the job. "I decided to stay in the game and play all four quarters and continue the support for the reelection of Donald J. Trump." End quote. Oh my gosh. It's not shivers that this has caused Democrats. They're going into, the apocalypse for Democrats. He said, Jones goes on to say that their harassment from the left is disturbing. "It's amazing," he said, "how I was exercising my constitutional right to freedom of speech, but only certain people can apparently say certain things." End quote. Way to go, Vernon. You got it, man. You got it. He told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, he views Trump as, quote, "a transformative president whose policies have helped African-American voters, military veterans, and farmers. It's very simple to me," he said. "President Trump's handling of the economy, his support for historically black colleges, and his criminal justice initiatives drew me to endorse his campaign." End quote. Now, I'm just got to wrap this up with this. Oh, and anyway, one more quote. He said, "When you look at the unemployment rates among black Americans before the pandemic, they were at historic lows. That's just a fact." Now this, end quote, this is the magic of Trump here. Trump said, "I am not going to ignore the black community." He said, I'm not going to ignore them. He said, "I am going to reach out as much as possible to every single one of them." So the magic of Trump is that he has stolen, if you will, or just appropriated, didn't steal them, appropriated the only few legitimate talking points that even exist in the Democratic Party. And they happen to relate more to blacks than they do to whites. And he has made them his own, the talking points. That's why his support continues to rise. Nonetheless, the Democrats in power, the mainstream media, which are all Democrats, are trying to bury Trump because of the Coronian virus, also known as impeachment 5.0. More good news. Democrats are about to censure, means scold, excoriate, slap him on the hand, then kick him in the face. A Michigan lawmaker who credits Trump with help saving her life. Now, who is this lawmaker? It's Karen Whitsett. And what is Karen? Karen is obviously a female, a black female Democrat from Detroit. From Detroit, who's extolling the virtues of Trump's handling of the coronavirus matter. She broke the protocol of the Democrat Party by accepting an invitation from President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence to meet with them on April 14th, dealing with the coronavirus situation. You see, Trump is carrying out his promise. He's doing what he said. Look, I love these people. I'm going to reach. Why would I not reach out to them? Just because Republicans have made a huge mistake. I mean, I'm putting these words in his mouth now, of not reaching out in the past. I don't have to follow that. I'm not like previous Republicans. That's why so many Republicans hate me. That's essentially what he says, and I'm paraphrasing. But does this make it on the mainstream media? Does Vernon Jones make it on the mainstream media? No, because the optics are an absolute death knell for the Democrats this coming fall. You know, I got to tell you, every day that goes by, I just love this president more and more. I really do. His demeanor is changing. The only thing that was really disturbing was at first he was rough around the edges, very rough and harsh, and we just weren't used to politicians like that. But now don't feed me lies, feed me the truth. And if it's in rough form, that's fine. And he is becoming more subdued and polished. And folks, I believe, I really truly believe that is a result of the prayer for this president, both by people generally throughout this country and those who surround him in the Oval Office, even laying hands on him praying. How about this picture? Do you see the picture of a gazillion black pastors laying hands on President Trump and praying for him? No, the mainstream media doesn't like that optic either, because he may not need to lead them off the plantation. He may just have to call, and they come off on their own. And that's what we are seeing. I loved, loved, loved this one particular press conference he had the other day on the coronavirus, and he's got them all the time, and I'm working and I don't see him, but I saw this little tiny little bit of it where this a girl, I don't know what her name is, she asked some really ridiculous lame question, and it was following two other lame questions for which he had great answers. And it just blew Trump away. He finally just said, you know what? I'm quoting him. You don't even have the brains you were born with. Next question. It's time. It takes for a party like the Democrats, who are so rude and crude, boorish and brutish, that it almost takes somebody like them to deal with them. And half these folks in that press corps aren't journalists. They're propagandists. Like the guy from the Salt Lake Gazette, you know, basically under the influence of Mitt Romney. And Trump says, you know, your paper supports Mitt Romney. I don't like Mitt. Next question. Next piece of good news. Trump administration is considering redirecting World Health Organization funding to the Samaritan's Purse and the Red Cross. Does this not blow you away? Now people say, hey, can't do that. You can't give government money to a religious organization. The religious organization, Samaritan's Purse, is not carrying out a religious function as far as sacraments and the tenets of Christianity, other than they're just out there as a help organization, taking care of people, feeding people. They're doing the same thing as the Red Cross. It is entirely legal. Does the media bring this up? Well, the World Health Organization is bad news. They are really, really bad news. And this is the other part of the good news, is that Trump's 60-day hold on funding them. So you say, well, where does he get the money for Samaritan's Purse and Red Cross? It's going to come from the money that Trump was going to otherwise send to the World Health Organization, which is run, the president is a Maoist. He's a communist. The head of the World Health Organization, who believes in a one-world government. Can you spell Antichrist? I think you can. And speaking of that, and here's another one. Here's another Democrat. This guy happens to be a white guy. Brian Dean Wright. He's a former retired CIA operative who said that China is responsible for spreading the misinformation about the coronavirus. And now he's calling out the Democrats, to include old Uncle Joe, for placing so much trust in a Communist Party's political narrative. Now, Wright is a Democrat. He supports Trump. But what he is, but he's coming out and he said, look, the Democrats are really, to the Chinese government, they're just useful idiots. This is useful idiots. Now, and so Biden is just a useful idiot to the Chinese, one that without a brain is just out there spewing Chinese propaganda, which are all lies. They're communists. They hate God. I mean, what do you expect out of these people? To tell the truth? Seriously? You really seriously expect a communist regime to tell the truth? I don't think so. So Joe Biden to the Chinese is just a useful idiot. And to America, well, I guess he's just an idiot. Okay, so they have the big concert this last week, which is just was a the one world benefit. So I'll get that. First of all, it's a one world benefit concert with a focus on one world. And guess who sponsored it, led it? The World Health Organization and a nonprofit group called Global Citizen. Global Citizen, what does that tell you? This whole thing is about bringing the whole world together. And they had these people, so-called stars. I guess they are to some people. To me, they're fallen stars. They fell before they rose to just spread Chinese propaganda, commie propaganda. And you got no brains. What's her face? Taylor Swift? Taylor not so Swift? I'm going to save this for Real Men Radio. It's the other program we do, folks. You can hear it and get it. You can email me at info@redskyradio.net. I can send it to you directly because we're creating a larger and larger blast list of the people that get that program. You can also get it by going to darkskyradio.com. And on there, you will find a link for this program, Red Sky Radio. But under Red Sky Radio, you can get the podcast for all the Red Sky Radio programs and all the Real Men Radio programs. I said that all to say this. If I have time, I'm going to tell you what I really think from a male perspective of Taylor Swift. If you're a guy, you'll want to hear this because you won't see her the same way after you hear that, if God lets me say what I want to say about her. And it ain't so nice because she ain't so Swift. Okay, moving along. One more thing here. There's another great black guy coming out. Not coming out. He's always been. He's just speaking it like it is. Ryan Bomberger. And he is challenging Oprah in her contention that the coronavirus has turned into basically a racist disease. That somehow, whether it started in China or not, Trump didn't move quickly enough, and he didn't move quickly enough because it was going to impact the black communities more than the white communities, and this is such stupidity, which we can frankly expect. And the fact, this is a very simple explanation. Where is the coronavirus hitting? It's where people live on top of each other. They're in apartments. They take subways and buses. Where are those? It's all the big cities. So let's take Michigan, my home state. So you've got a city that, I don't know, is Detroit, what, 50% black? Something like that, 40, 50, 60%. Disproportionately, yes, versus the state as a whole. So if you take the state as a whole, let's say it's 12 or 13% black, which is the national average. But a city, the only really big city in Michigan is Detroit, and it's the cities that are getting hit harder. So, of course, more blacks would, I mean, if you've got 50% of the people who are victims in Detroit are black, and 50% of Detroit is black, but the whole state is, as a whole is 12% black, then you are always going to have a disproportionate number of victims be black, because it's the people in the cities that are getting hit. It's pretty clear. It's pretty obvious. And it takes a young man by the name of Ryan Bomberger, a black man, the co-founder of the Radiance Foundation, to point this out and to challenge Oprah. These are the kind of young men we need. And there's young women out there, too, but like Candace Owens. I mean, couldn't speak more highly of her, or Owen. I don't think it's Owens. I think it's Owen. But so Ryan comes out. He says, you want to know what, Oprah, you want to know what's really plaguing the black community? Abortion. If you've supported the slaughter of 19 million of us since 1973. Abortion is a war on the black community. Why is it that all the abortion clinics are, you think that coronavirus is disproportionately hits the blacks? You want to know what disproportionately hits the blacks? It's abortion, because that's where you put all the abortion clinics, are in black and Hispanic neighborhoods. Speaking truth in power to multi-billionaire Oprah Schmoprah. Gosh. Well, anyway, and speaking loosely of my home state, Gretchen Whitmer. Oh, my goodness sakes. Well, you know what? I'm going to get to her in a minute. And if I don't get to her at all, it won't hurt my feelings. Oh, but it doesn't hurt yours. So Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, who heads up the Samaritan's Purse, who might get the money that otherwise would go to the World Health Organization, might come to Samaritan's Purse to help out with coronavirus aid and support. That's the organization that the New York City Democratic Party basically said, if you're Christian, we don't want your help because you're against the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ crowd. Because you actually take a moral stand, and because you believe in the Bible, the fact that we cannot believe for one second that you would come in here and feed the poor, help those that are afflicted, and support without trying to turn that into some anti-LGBT agenda and propaganda operation. So we don't want you. Okay, New York City Dems, you don't want you? Then you just get a whole lot more dead. You can have a whole lot more coffins, and you can start burying people 24/7. You reject God and you reject God's people. You've rejected God's answer to your problem. And I hope I made myself clear. It's kind of interesting that all the protests for people wanting to go back to work are occurring in blue states, because the blue state governors got their thumb on everything. In the case of Governor Whitmer, her heels, her stiletto on the neck of the hardworking people of Michigan. But I'm going to come back to that hag. I'm sorry, I shouldn't call her that. Just because she looks a lot like Bruce Transgender, I should not call her that, and I apologize. We'll be back with more of Red Sky Radio. Don't go away.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
We are back. This is Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. You know, I thought of an analogy. I want to back up a little bit with the suggestion by Oprah and some of her black friends that somehow coronavirus has turned into a racist thing because supposedly there hasn't been the support in the black community for the coronavirus. Like, first of all, that's all a lie. The support is everywhere. It's just that the challenges with a high intensity of a city that has a lot of cases is more challenging than some rural little town like Three Rivers, Michigan, where it's got 5,000 people. Not the same challenge. But the analogy would be this, I would say to Oprah. And Ryan Bomberger, the black guy who wrote the article opposing Oprah, would certainly agree. It would be sort of like me saying, as a white guy, that somehow if Congress cut down on the support for cancer research, it could only be racist against whites because whites very significantly and disproportionately suffer from skin cancer known as melanoma versus blacks. Now blacks get melanoma. They have skin cancer, not like whites do. You know, the fair skin is not hospitable to a hostile sun. The hostile sun is not hospitable to our fair skin. I said it backwards. To call that a racist act because I happen to be of an ethnicity that is more exposed to a particular disease as a white guy than a black. You see just how asinine this is? And I'm being nice when I say asinine and divisive. Satan is the cause of strife and confusion and division, and it says that where that exists, there is every evil work. Everything Trump has said is about optimism and trying to bring things forward and better. Everything the Democrats say is negative and destructive and depressing. Gosh, why would you even want to hang around with these people? You see pictures of Pelosi and Schumer and all of them, and they all look like they're sucking on some diseased fig, some bad figs like it talks about in Scripture. No wonder. They got nothing to live for. Well, hey, I want to lighten things up for just a brief second and give a plaudit, if you will, a shout out to one of my favorite websites on the internet, my friends over at the Babylon Bee. I do not get paid to make this advertisement. TheBabylonBee.com. These are I'm going to guess, predominantly young Christians with an incredible sense of humor wrapped up in satire. These satirical Christians are hilarious. They don't pull any punches. They really don't. And I say, gosh, you know what? I need a little pick-me-upper. I'll go over there and I'll pick up little things like this story. And keep in mind, this is all satire. But this headline, federal government accidentally shuts itself down as a non-essential business. I don't know who these guys are. I would love to have hung out with them. Well, even today, but especially like junior high and high school. When you start to see the creativity of people emerge about that age, federal government accidentally shuts itself down as a non-essential business, and they don't pull any punches. So if you just want a quick smile, maybe a quick laugh, go check out the Babylon Bee, and they can get near the edge, and I sort of enjoy that. How about this one? Joel Osteen tests negative for Christianity. Well, it's a little. I don't know. Let's move on. That's the comedic 45 seconds of this program. So don't anybody ever say I don't have any fun at all on this program. I do. Okay, moving on to Michigan's governor, Whitmer, who Trump calls half Whitmer. She made the most ridiculous statement. She made a bunch of them. But it blows my mind that when she said the other day, when she was on David Axelrod's program, I think it was, where she was. Yeah, David Axelrod's program. She said that it's ridiculous to include abortion among elective procedures banned during the pandemic. Because this is not an elective thing. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean? You have to have an abortion? You half Whitmer? You got to have an abortion? You have to? There's some medical reason for it? Not in 99.99% cases, there isn't. She's mad because it's being considered an elective procedure. And they themselves, consider this irony. She said, this is not an elective procedure. Then why, Gretchen Halfwit, do you call yourselves pro-choice? If you are pro-choice, it's a choice. That would be elective. You don't have to do it, Nimrod. And then she goes on to say that it's not an elective thing because abortion is, quote, life-sustaining, end quote. Gretchen, you, to quote Donald Trump, you don't have the brains you were born with. Life-sustaining for who, Gretchen? Look, the only one who dies are the kids in the womb. The women don't die. Life-sustaining for whom? It's life-threatening. It's life-killing. Should just close them. Just close the abortion. But this woman is so dumb, so stupid, so... I'm sorry, I'm getting carried away with this. She is has such a reprobate mind. She is so from the dark side of the spiritual universe. To call abortion a life-sustaining act when the only thing that occurs on the other side of an abortion, you go into it with two alive and you come out with one alive and one dead, and you call that life-sustaining. And you say that it can't be an elective procedure when you yourself admit to being pro-choice. Choice meaning you've elected, you've chosen to do something. Then she goes on to compare the protesters to World War II and what it would be like. And you heard this, and I don't need to rehash that about her stating that in World War II, you know, you didn't have people protesting the war effort. They just went to work and so forth. Well, I'm not going to go through all that other than I want to quote two journalists in response to her comment. Well, let me just give you her one sentence that's under criticism here. In World War II, there weren't people lining up at the Capitol to protest the fact that they had to drop everything they were doing and build planes or tanks or to ration food, Whitmer said. They rolled up their sleeves and they got to work. End of parens, which of course got to work was the very thing Gretchen Whitmer don't let anybody do in Michigan is get to work. This is the hypocrisy and the stupidity of Michigan's Democrats that would elect this woman. But columnist Kurt Schlichter said, writing, he said, one of the differences here is in World War II, Michigan didn't have a dizzy fascist as a governor. And the sweetest of all came from political commentator John Hawkins, who wrote, quote, they were fighting, back in World War II, he's referencing, they were fighting against people then that wanted to destroy their livelihoods, take their freedom, and keep them imprisoned. Now the person that wants to do that is their own governor. Wow. Mark Zuckerberg. You want to see just how connected and how anti-God, anti-freedom, anti-liberty the left is. Mark Zuckerberg basically has said that Facebook is now going to ban attempts to use his little company as a breeding ground and for disseminating protests against the lockdown. That's right. So Zuckerberg is calling these things misinformation. Well, wait a minute. What's misinformation about saying we're going to have a protest? They're not lying. They're going to have a protest. What's misinformation about saying why they're going to have the protest? Because they need to get back to work. None of it's misinformation. None at all. George Stephanopoulos was interviewing him. This might as well be a chapter from Brave New World. I'm going to quote here from the WorldNet Daily. You guys, thank you. Stephanopoulos asks Zuckerberg how the company deals with the fact that Facebook is now being used to organize a lot of these protests to defy social distancing guidelines in states. Note, now you can stop here. Notice the question, the statement to defy the order. Well, so Stephanopoulos says, Stephanopoulos says, if somebody is trying to organize something like that, does that qualify as harmful misinformation? Talk about a layup softball question. Sort of like, did Zuckerberg hand Stephanopoulos the questions to ask him? Sort of like Donna Brazile, you know, doing the same for Hillary Clinton. And, well, I digress. Zuckerberg said, we do classify that as harmful misinformation, and we take that down. While at the same time saying that it's important that people can debate policies. what double talk, Marky baby? So a Facebook spokesman confirmed to CNN that planned protests in California, New Jersey, and Nebraska were having their pages removed from Facebook at the request of state authorities. Oh, I get it now. Facebook, the private organization that says you don't have a First Amendment right because we're not a governmental organization. We are a private organization, and therefore you really don't have any First Amendment rights, and to which I actually somewhat agree. But now we're going to take orders from state authorities. Well, you just became an arm of the state government, Marky baby. State authorities. So this, the government just does this and then essentially orders so-called private organizations, which now they're fine being a government organization. Hey, the government said they've asked us to do it. We're going to do it because we're sort of part of the government. We all know that he is. He loves the left. But you don't have any First Amendment rights. Ugh. That's how things are going to work. I got Lita sent in a couple of things here, which I want to read to you from. Where is Lita? I think Lita is from Oregon. I'm not sure where she is. Anyway, this was for, she said, the coronavirus will come and go, but the government will never forget how easy it was to take control of your life. How true that is. She went on to write, she forwarded this. I don't know who this came from, whoever wrote this. I give you all the credit, but it is good. When the state tells you it's safe to go to Home Depot to buy a sponge, but dangerous to go and buy a flower, it's not about your health. When the state shuts down millions of private businesses, but doesn't lay off a single government employee, it's not about your health. Now, I got to stop here because this one riles me. Not only are government employees getting paid, not getting laid off, a lot of them are getting paid for not doing anything. They're just sitting home as couch potatoes. And you and I, who are losing income, have lost businesses. I haven't lost a business, but for those who have, still have to pay the taxes to support their hiney while they sit on the couch not doing jack. And in California, the government employees, a bunch of them, just got raises. So let's give raises to the people who aren't doing crap, who aren't being laid off, but still got their jobs, and we're going to give them a raise for sitting on their butt. This is why, you know, I'm just struck me. Government. How do we normally abbreviate that? G-O-V-T, right? It just became a four-letter word. Moving on. When the state prevents you from buying cucumber seeds because it's dangerous, but allows the person in to buy lottery tickets, It's not about your health. I want to interject. So why do they buy you lottery tickets? Because the money, the state makes money. So the state can be in business. We can't. But they can be. That's why I like that Babylon Bee. Why does the government shut itself down as a non-essential business? When the state tells you it's dangerous to go golf alone, fish alone, or be in a motorboat alone, but the governor can set his stage makeup done and hair done for 5 TV appearances a week, it's not about your health. When the state puts you in a jail cell for walking in a park with your child because it's too dangerous, but then lets criminals out of jail cells for their health, it's not about your health. And I might throw in an ad here. They already are now having a resurgence in crime in all of those places where they've let the criminals out. Do they care about COVID? Oh, come on. They don't give a rat's rear end about it. They're back to doing what they do best. Commit crimes. When the state tells you it's too dangerous to get treated by a doctor of chiropractic or physical therapy treatments, yet deems a liquor store essential, it's not about your health. And I want to say I'm proud to say here in Arizona that those are considered essential services. When the state lets you go to the grocery store or hardware store but is demanding mail-in voting, it's not about your health. Winston Churchill. Now I'm going to get to that in a minute. Billy, our Las Vegas Red Sky Radio Bureau Chief. We communicate a lot, of course, as Bureau Chief, we do. And he talks much about the Cloward Piven strategy, which I was aware of, and he's deeply aware of it, more studied in it than I am. It's a strategy that is embraced by Democrats, but specifically Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and others. And they've written in favor and support of the Cloward Piven strategy and Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. The Cloward Piven strategy is simply this. If you want to bring down an entrepreneurial, capitalistic, constitutional republic, here's how you do it. You make so many and much demands. Increase the demands from all across, from welfare benefits to increasing unemployment benefits to penalties on employers for this or that, taxes for doing everything in the world. You so burden the government with demands from all these sources, directions, that it implodes and it collapses, and you can bring in your socialist, communist, dictator regime and now fight for your life because you don't even have any guns anymore. Winston Churchill, socialism is a philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. Its inherent virtue is the equal sharing of misery. Well, I would like to get to something else that I do not have time to start. I wish I did. I gave you two passages last week from Scripture to read in preparation for this week. And I apologize. I don't think, you know what? I think I got to try to fit them in. I think I just have to. I'm going to get to a different quote at a different time here. Those two passages of Scripture, I got to keep my promise. In the Word, in the Bible, it talks about a 200 million man army coming from the east to invade Israel in the last days. We know China has a gazillion people, a huge army, but they don't have 200 million. No, they don't. But Scripture 9, chapter 9, verse 16 says, and the number of the army of the horsemen, and I'll tell you why we say it comes from the east, were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. Well, 200,000 is 200 million. And in chapter 16, verse 12 of Revelation, it says, and the sixth angel poured out his veil upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Two things to point out here. Kings, plural, of the east. 200 million man army coming from the east toward Israel. So this is going to be the only thing I can touch on this week dealing with the last days. But this is why this is significant. Because it says kings, plural. There are, as of just about a year and a half ago, 8 member nations now. Yes, that's right, called the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Look it up. It's a security alliance of Asian nations. The Shanghai Cooperation Organization, with 8 member nations now, 2 just recently added, India and Pakistan. So the countries now include Russia, China, India, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, I can't say that, Pakistan, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan have pledged to enhance cooperation between their defense departments and their armed forces. Now, this is the first time India and Pakistan have participated as full members. People in Pakistan, in India, we have a lot of listeners in India. Take note of this. Both became full members last year, adding their large populations and nuclear-armed militaries to this bloc of nations. And this is very significant in light of the Bible prophecies that I just mentioned to you. Because, historically speaking, a nation can field roughly 1 fighting man for every 15 adults. And they say in extreme situations, 1 in 10 adults could be made soldiers. So let's put this in perspective. There are about 250 million adults in the U.S. At the biggest extreme, the greatest extreme, maybe 25 million could become troops. Now, that's 15 times more than our current number. So how many do you have to get a 200 million man army? You'd have to have the combined armies of Russia, China, India, Kazakhstan, Pakistan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan. They actually now would have it. They aren't quite that well organized yet, but they're getting there. Go consider that. Are we in the end times? We're not in the tribulation. But boy, folks, we are coming down to a point in time to take note. Know your word. Read Revelation. And I'm going to make an offer soon here on the redistribution of my book, The Rapture Revisited. Finally, a lawyer takes a look at end time events, which categorically disproves every single pre-trib rapture verse there is. But I want to conclude with this. I read this on Real Men Radio, but it's called for this program to conclude. Written by Theodore Roosevelt, a part of a speech in 1910 called the Man in the Arena speech. He said, "It's not the critic who counts, and it's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasm and great devotion? Who spends himself in a worthy cause? Who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement? And who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." End quote. That speech, the Man in the Arena speech by Teddy Roosevelt in 1910, given in France, is sort of the secular equivalent to sitting tall in the saddle, for riding for the brand of Jesus Christ. We may not succeed in the way that we describe success, but we need to be engaged in the battle a full-throated, full-on battle. Anything less, and we perish needlessly. But if we are not going to perish needlessly, let us perish in a valiant cause. So that when we meet our Lord and Savior, he can hardly wait to tell us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God bless you. See you next week. And remember to sit in the saddle, because you do ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you next week.